All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of the Wheel Wednesday podcast.
Whoop, whoop.
I'm Scott from Koenig, and sitting with me is my friend, Doubt from Koenig.
It's been a while, guys. What's going on?
Yeah.
It's been a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely been a little bit since I've been on one, but here we are.
Yeah. Anyhow, you know, today's podcast topic is an interesting one. It's that whole thing about, if you spend more money, if a wheel is priced higher than another wheel, does it necessarily mean that it has a higher quality or a different quality or different things like that? So we're going to kind of debate that kind of stuff. And so if you have questions or comments or anything like that, throw them in. It's very an opinion subject kind of
definitely
thing.
Definitely opinionated on this one.
Yeah. So we're just going to be chopping it up a little bit. So if you have some, what up, Tyler's back in here. We got a soldier.
Whoop, whoop.
but yeah, so if you have any thoughts on that whole thing, throw it in, let us know. Also, before we get into some things, remember, we have pieces of content that we drop on our YouTube channel every Friday. Make sure you go over and check it out.
You make sure you like and subscribe.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
do
what
that.
I'm talking about.
Do that. Yeah, Cinco de Mayo, man.
Cinco de Mayo. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody. That is the first time I saw that right there. By far, that was great. Thank you for that one, Alex.
Jared's face.
That was amazing. I need that sent to my cell phone, please. Please, I need that.
It goes up on Instagram. Anyhow, so we have pieces of content coming out on Friday. We did one last Friday. Also, the last podcast that we did last week.
Yep.
Alex, what was that on? Feed it to me. Great.
thank you, Alex. We appreciate all
it
your
was,
input.
No, we talked. I don't remember what we did, but it was a good topic.
I wasn't here for that one, so
what
I can't.
Was it? What? No, podcast topic.
No,
we don't know. We've done
know.
So many, we don't know anymore. Anyhow,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what it is. So with that said, look, I think that it's interesting when you go wheel shopping. There's no doubt that you hit a retailer's website. And you scroll down and you can sort wheels by price.
Yes, you can.
And I think that there's this natural feeling that some product, because it has a higher price tag, must mean that it's better product.
That's what people think. That's what a lot of people think, you know.
So I think in some circumstances it holds true.
Yes.
And I think that there's other circumstances that it doesn't, right?
Yeah.
100%. So let's talk about construction. I think this is probably the one that actually holds the most amount of water. So construction greatly will change the price tag of a wheel. But it also makes it so that that product shouldn't always be comparable with other product. For example, a forged wheel. A forged wheel compared to a cast wheel, they should be completely different.
Completely different, different ball game. You're in a different element there when you go into your cast versus your forged. So there's no comparing that. But I feel like a lot of people look at that and like, oh, that one's that much, so that one has to be better. Again, it really depends on the person. For me,
I think
personally, because again, you're only going to get into a forged wheel when you are looking for something extremely light, extremely strong, sturdy, and also customization when it comes into the forged wheels. Am I right on that one?
To an extent. Let's talk about it like this. I think that a flow form wheel should always cost more than a cast wheel.
100%.
And when I say always, there's plenty of brands out there that are higher end brands that make that their wheels, if you look at their construction, are cast. And at that point, you're paying for brand, design, style, maybe fitment. And, and it's not that that's unreasonable.
No,
it's not
at all.
It's not that those things don't happen. But you do need to understand that when you're looking for your deal, when you're searching for your product, that if you want to buy a cast wheel, a traditional cast wheel, and the price tag is really high, but it's the brand you like. That's the company you want to support.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be the style or fitment that you need to have. Then that's your decision. But just be aware of it. Just know.
Yeah, just know.
That that's your decision, mm-hmm. right? You're not getting anything special except for the design, the branding, whatever. And don't get me wrong. Like, I'm sure that, like, if you start to compare if you start to compare
why did you just start laughing?
Like I saw a comment come through.
Wepa, papito, wepa.
What's happening, Gabriel? What's going on? We're just hanging out today, right?
Hey, we're just chilling today. I don't know. We're, you know, shoot us some questions below.
But yeah, so like getting to Tyler's question, you know, he said that's because of the density of the alloy, correct? So I think what he's referring to is when we were talking about the forged stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, we're going to get to your questions in a few minutes. I want to run through some of this stuff real fast,
run
right?
It.
So when you talk about a cast wheel, it costs more money and it costs more and it takes more time and it's more process and it's more labor intensive and the product costs more to make a flow formed wheel compared to a traditional cast wheel.
For sure.
When you look at the cost it takes to make a forged wheel
mm-hmm.
versus a flow formed wheel, it costs more money.
Yeah.
And it's going to have more time behind it. And
yes.
Time equals money,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you're going to be talking about why does a forged wheel cost so much compared to a flow form wheel or a cast wheel, it's because, remember, what a forged wheel is, it's essentially a block of aluminum that is compressed with a 10,000-pound ton press.
Yep.
And I think I just butchered the heck out of that.
It's right.
Basically compressed to 10,000 pounds. And then essentially what happens is that block of aluminum then is used to essentially CNC or carve out
the design.
You know, mill out mm-hmm. the design that's been developed according to whatever specifications
mm-hmm.
are needed.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
So when we start talking about that, that just takes more time.
And, takes a lot more time.
When you do that, you're going to pay for that time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're paying for product there, and now you're paying for process and time.
100%.
What I want to do, though, is I want people to understand when we start talking about things like quality. Quality is like a –
Gabriel. Whippa! <Yeah. laughs> That's a new thing. I love it. It's great.
When we start talking about quality.
Yes.
Quality is very, very subjective. It's also one of those things that can really shift pricing regardless of construction.
Yep.
For example, just because you have a forged wheel doesn't mean it's quality.
No, not one bit.
Just because you have a flow form wheel doesn't mean it's quality. Some cast wheels may have a way better quality than a forged wheel.
Yep.
But here's the thing. Quality is subjective, right?
Yep, definitely subjective.
Which part of quality are you looking at? Are you looking for structural strength?
Yeah.
Are you looking for the actual painted process, like the finish,
mm-hmm.
The actual finish of a wheel? Are you looking at the machining of a wheel?
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking at the fitment of a wheel? There's a lot of different things that qualify as quality. And they're going to be a little subjective,
mm-hmm.
right? When I think of quality and how we view quality here is... Is the wheel machined correctly? No crazy sharp edges. It's really nice.
Yep.
It's completely finished. Is it free from defect? Is it going to be a product that, you know, when it's been finished, the paint finish is really good? Is it going to be one of those things that when you get the product and it goes onto your car, it meets the load ratings and it's going to hold up structurally and sound?
Yes.
Those are the things that when we refer to quality with our product that we think. But remember, with every brand, it's up to them to enforce their own standards.
Yes, 100%. I've seen some bad quality and some amazing quality from different manufacturers that we won't mention names.
Yeah.
But I've seen, example, for your three-piece wheels, I've seen same price range, but just one being... I hate to say it like this, trash, and one being amazing quality.
Mm.
You really have to look at exactly which brand, which companies, and I'm losing train of thought over here.
No, I understand what you mean. But
yeah.
So I think there's, you know, listen, and I've been doing this for a long time now, and you know, and some of the other people that have been here have been doing a long time, and there have been times where we've seen really, really high end product with big price tags attached, that where the machining is terrible,
duty.
Where the fitment is not good. Well, we've had people that have, you know, that we know that have built cars or done different things, and they've gone with some other product, and it's leaks.
Yep.
Like, I you know, look, to that measure, no matter how much it costs or what construction it's made out of, if a wheel leaks, I'm going to determine that as saying, well, no, it's probably not the best quality, right? Yeah,
poor quality on that point.
But, sorry, so construction is probably the most valid reason that a wheel should change in price.
Yes.
Then we start talking about, obviously, finish and branding and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And look, that's a subjective matter.
Yes.
You want to support a brand. You want to spend more money on a wheel because it's a certain brand or it has a certain quality. That's one thing. Now, let's start talking about when you start to compare the same constructions together. Cast versus cast, mm-hmm. flow form versus flow formed, and forged versus forged. We'll even go in as far to say two piece versus two piece, three piece versus three piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like we'll cover the genre. But when you start talking about those things, now these things are completely the QC that you see in a product means what kind of quality control is on each product,
mm-hmm.
and now you're going to be starting to talk about branding or unique finishings.
Yes.
And that's the trifecta that changes the price on that stuff. So you have to decide, you know, if you're looking at, you know, let's say the pyramid of selection,
mm-hmm.
we just made up. so, if you know, if you're talking about, you know, quality, you know, finish, and, you know.
What was it? Structure?
Yeah, sure. We get the structure. Whatever. We're just making it up as
we're making it up as well.
Then I think that it's one of those things that you have to decide. You know, brand is really what we're talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Yes.
But brand. You have to decide which one of those things is higher up on the pros and cons list for you, right? When you start talking about flow form to flow forming, now flow forming processes are a little bit different because is there a quality nature? There could be, and there's some different flow forming procedures. Everybody's going to kind of have a little bit of a different, you know, way of having their own proprietary
mm-hmm.
way of flow forming. I mean, a lot of companies purchase from similar companies, so they're going to have a similar process, even though mm-hmm. the name will change. But what you need to understand is that there may be some variances there. There may yep. be some pros and cons. There's a lot of different processes. Do your best to, you know, do the homework there and decide what's there. I will say that 99% of a company's given quality and quality control really are going to be very subjective and, well, no, not subjective, will be very representative of the brand. So, yes. Like, in other words, with here at Koenig, like, we make sure that we have our own QC process in multiple stages throughout production. So, we do our best to catch anything that we would find completely unacceptable and find product that you should not be paying for if there's an issue or a blem or anything like that. So, that's number one. But other people don't have that. They literally, they bring wheels in from whatever factory they're making it at.
Put a stamp on it.
Well, they get stacked on the shelf.
Yep.
And they're already in their boxes and stuff like that. They never take a wheel out. Yeah, and they ship them out. That's exactly right. So, you know, how are you going to figure those out? Well, you're not. But you need to really understand that there's, you got to trust the brand. There has to be a trust thing. So, you know, I think that quality control and trust and stuff, that's all, somebody will have tacos and tequila. But I think there's got to be a point where you think about that whole thing. And then when we talk about forged and forged, just remember, when you compare any one of these wheels, right, the one thing that you have to understand is that there's the QC, the quality control, right? It doesn't matter what the product's made out of. But also things like load rating. You know, when you could take a forged wheel and a wheel could be forged, and just because it's super lightweight doesn't necessarily mean that it makes certain load rating or is as strong or whatever it may be. Forged doesn't mean it's bulletproof. Forged just means that the tensile strength of the material is far greater than other material. And the reason you're able to make a wheel lighter with a forged wheel is because you have so much of that tensile strength, you're able to remove excess aluminum down to the point where it still meets those load ratings.
Yes.
But 690 kg is 690 kg. 1,521 pounds of load rating is 1,521 pounds. So if you see those both on these two wheels, obviously one should be lighter than the next, and there's going to be some property changes, right? Mm-hmm. Flow forming has a little bit more elongation, which means that it will bend more before it could crack.
Before it cracks.
That's a plus. I know sometimes people get confused with that. But, you know, other products, they're going to be more be harder. When they're harder, when they impact something, they'll hold up. But then
just crack.
Right.
It just cracks.
That's right.
And to be honest, I'd rather deal with a bend than a crack any day of the week.
Yeah, I say that a lot, and sometimes people give me stuff for that, but I will say
I'll take a bend over a crack any day of the week.
And doubt's the perfect one to ask for this. Because
I've been there, and I've done that, and I've been through it.
When you have a wheel that you impact that cracks, what happens?
You got to either get it welded or, for example, say if it's a three-piece wheel, you have to replace a lip, a barrel, whatever it is,
when you get a good crack in a wheel that, like, while you're driving?
Oh, yeah, tires flying off, you're losing air pressure, and you
rapidly. Yeah.
Versus a bend, and keep in mind, I've driven on bent wheels before, you can still drive on them, and they'll still be able to hold air, depending on how bad the bend is.
Yeah.
Let me get to, you know, that before anybody roasts me on there, but I've driven on bent wheels before, and I'll take a bent wheel over a cracked wheel any day.
Yeah, I agree with Doubt on that. Mm-hmm. You know, most of the time when you have a bend in a wheel, you know, it's terrible. It sucks. You got to replace the wheel. But
at least won't let you blow out a tire and potentially cause a lot more damage to the car than a crack.
Because
once that wheel cracks, I'm sorry, that tire is either going to fly right off or explode.
Well, it better not fly right off.
It's gonna lose a lot of air.
It's going to lose air. There's no doubt about that.
Say if you're cruising on the highway and the thing loses air completely, that tire is getting shredded up and, again, could potentially fall off.
Yeah, I mean,
am I wrong?
Well, it depends. I think you're going to see a lot more of that with extremely stretched tires.
Again, you know, that's a different story there.
But the point is, though, is that if you look at where the bead seat of a wheel is, it's usually about a half an inch inbound from each edge of the wheel. And because of that, that bend doesn't always make it so that tire loses air pressure. It's still sealed in that area. Whereas a crack anywhere in that wheel could potentially, if it wasn't a spoke, if it was anywhere in the barrel, could essentially deplete the air extremely quick. So that's just one of those things that you want to really, you know, keep in mind. Sometimes there's positives and the negatives with each type of product. We talked about that so much. I'm not really going to get into it. But let's talk about two-piece and three-piece wheels. Are they all the same?
No, far from it.
There are a multitude of two-piece and three-piece wheels. Now, first off, there's construction when you start talking about multiple-piece wheels, just hearing a three-piece forged wheel,
mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the things that three-piece forged could even mean.
I know you're looking at me because you want to roast me on this.
No, no. Why would I do that?
I
would bring you here just to roast you.
Yeah, right? That's the only reason why I'm on today. You see, guys, there's always a reason why I'm here.
I was like, why don't you? I'm like, I think you'd be good for today's podcast.
That's what's happening right now.
Well, listen, Tyler's like, no roasting here. Well, not from you, I might.
He's going to roast me all day. Don't worry.
No, but three-piece forged. Three-piece forged could be the manufacturer referring to the
face
of the wheel being forged,
and then
the lip and the barrel are not. It could mean that it has forged barrels and lips
and a face.
Yeah, I mean, there's all right.
Again, there's different variations and different combinations of it, but you have to really, again, look who you're purchasing it from. Ask those questions to what manufacturer you're purchasing it from.
Right.
That's, you know, that's big things right there. That's a big deal.
And the same thing goes with two-piece wheels. Now, I will say, too, is that when we start talking about, you know, multiple-piece wheels, I think there's a preference here, like a subjective preference here, and then there's this quality thing here. But remember that multiple-piece wheels aren't always sealed the exact same way. Nope. In other words, you can have a two-piece welded wheel, meaning that yep. the wheel was assembled using, you know, a barrel and a face, and they draw. What they do is they drop those things in, and then exactly right, and then they weld it up, and then from that product, when it's properly welded, you're not going to have the leaking issues that you say would have on a three-piece or a two-piece wheel that is bolted together and then sealed.
Again, different variations of how wheels are bolted. I've seen two-piece wheels where you can take the face out completely and the barrel and lip are one piece. So again, you won't have a leakage there, but when you get that three-piece where you have the barrel, face, and lip are completely separated from each other, that's more likely to have a leak. Am I right?
Listen, you don't have to talk to me. I've been very open about the fact that I have no affinity and no love for multiple-piece wheels that are sealed.
I have my love for my three-piece wheels. I've been there. I've done it.
Me too. I don't like it.
I get it.
They leak. They're a pain in the butt. If anybody tells you that they don't bend easier, most of the three-piece stuff has aluminum-spun barrels.
Yeah, you're right.
Super soft. I won't disagree. Don't even look at them the wrong way because they're probably going to bend. And then you can't. So then you're.
Hey, listen.
Back in the day when I had some three piece stuff on one of the cars I bought.
Scott was a baller.
No, that's a thing. It doesn't make you a baller. Three pieces' main function in life was to give you the ability to customize pad size so you can get around certain brakes. Or to take advantage of being able to put a bigger lip on and move the face back or whatever it may be. If you're not doing that and you're just buying it so you could say you have three-piece wheels, I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, you don't want to do that.
Yeah. So that's my personal opinion, though. It's not a Koenig thing. That's me. No, that's me. You know,
I like my three-piece. Scott doesn't like his three-piece.
Because I don't understand how every time you get in a car, you could want to make the first thing. Yeah, it's right. It's true. Tyler's right. Don't even look at him the wrong way. They'll bend.
I think he's quoting you on that one. You gave him that quote.
Tyler's a soldier. But no, listen. But
you're
like,
on my side, bro. What happened?
Listen. So here's the thing. The issue is this, is that when you start talking about getting into your car, I want to drive my car. You have to first then go check your air pressure.
No.
Come on.
Not every
every
time.
Single
no.
time. Yeah,
my
check
car
your
does
air
that
pressure.
For me.
Your car does that for you.
No, but again, I've had three-piece wheels where I've had that issue of either cracking a barrel, bending a lip, having to take the tire off to reseal it. It's a process, but again, it's
now, Doubt, I want to get a little personal here.
Oh, here we go. Again, personal now, guys.
I feel like the roasting pan is coming.
Everybody, screen record this, please, and send it to me just in case if it gets deleted.
No, listen, it won't get deleted. So what I would say is this. Let's now have a conversation. We're gonna have a
conversation now.
You didn't always work here. You're fairly new to here.
Yeah.
So
about a year and a half.
So you've had other wheels on your car plenty.
I think I'm on about set number 12 or 13.
Right. So now you can answer this from a perspective of before you worked here, your opinions there. Why would you let's say brand A is the brand you love.
Okay.
All right. Brand B makes brand A and brand B, both the same size, both the same fitment.
Okay.
Both the same offset.
Okay.
Brand A is way more money.
Way more money. Okay.
Brand B is not only less money, but it's lighter.
Okay.
Same construction. So same construction. Okay. Brand A, style-wise, it's cool.
Flashy? Is that what we're going to say?
No. We got to keep them comparable.
Let's say it is, Tyler. It is getting personal.
Why would somebody now, what are the reasons that you would go through and you would spend so much more money for brand A?
It all comes down to design and finish.
All right. So you're going to say design and finish. Is there anything else that goes into that thought process?
Again, you can say it's for name brand, having one name over the other.
No. I know you could say it, but I want to know what you think. I want to know. Let's get in. I want to get into the mind of Doubt. I want to hop in there. I want to see.
Oh, we're getting so personal right now. Tyler, help me, please. Help me, please. Again, it really, for me personally, it comes down to finish, style of the wheel. If there's something on that wheel on A versus B that I like more, I'm probably personally going to go with A. Now, again, you also have to look into what you're looking for. Do you need that lighter wheel? Again, for my daily driving personally, probably not. No. Somebody who's like, oh, I'm going on the track, I want to take it autocross, then yeah, you need that lighter wheel.
Yeah.
So you really have to look at, again, everybody's different.
Your function, your use.
Function versus use, you know, is it a daily use? Is it for just the track? That's where you have to start to give your pros and cons out.
Right.
Again, for me personally,
yeah,
I daily my car.
Yeah.
Car is driven on the road every single day. I probably would shoot more for looks and finish versus it being a little bit lighter and things like that.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. So now,
again, that's so now, if I'm dailying my car. If I'm going on the track, yeah, I'm looking specifically for something light,
yep,
strong, and ready to go.
So now Tyler put in an interesting point. He says, he goes, people these days love to post what they have, right? So my question...
Love it. They love to do
my
that.
My question is, when people do this type of thing, do you think that there's wheel selections made just because they want to make sure that when they put their car up on Instagram, when they put their car up on Facebook, when they go to a car show, that they're going to get the cred that some of that brand may come along with?
Yeah, you can say that. 100%. I'll agree with you there, Tyler. Yeah. You want to say you have this set of wheels versus that set of wheels? Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I can.
I think it's an interesting point, because you think we've gotten to a generation now where
Instagram,
I think,
rules the world, apparently, or social media rules the world.
Yeah, I mean, not for me.
I'm just saying.
I suck at social media. I really.
I'm okay.
I'm terrible at it. Anybody that follows me on social media knows that, like, I post.
Oh, he's boring.
I'm so boring.
So boring.
So boring. And I don't really. I always forget to post. I do things all the time, and like. And I'm thinking to myself, like, all right, I'll give you a good example.
Meanwhile, it's like, I just took this picture specifically for Instagram, and then Scott's over there. I took this picture, and he's just going to keep it on his phone for 10 years and then go back to
it. I have so many pictures on my phone that, like, I'll take for my own, like, reference, like, to remember certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are like, oh, I've never seen these before. It's like, yeah, well, why would I? Oh, well, I don't post it. I don't post it.
Versus me, it's like photos taken. It's like, all right, let me post that up real quick, yeah. You know. Yeah. Is what it is.
Yeah, people do it for the gram, and I'm just like, eh.
You got to look at, yeah. Right.
I struggle with it. Anyhow, so the question, you know, I guess the question comes down to, you know, with a certain product is, I think, one, just keep in mind, I think that if you bought whatever product you buy,
you need to look at pros and cons regardless, first off, when you're looking at buying wheels. That's
yeah.
How I always
There's no doubt about that. But I also think that, like, I think that the service here is understand that pricing is not indicative of a quality or a construction alone, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make mm-hmm. product is not better because of what price point it's at. But yep. But I think that as long as the person does their homework, as long as they know what they're buying,
mm-hmm.
then I think it's all game. Right? I just feel like our thing here isn't to put anybody under a bus, except for Doubt.
Except for me. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. But
oh, look,
no.
There's a bus right there.
Yeah. our thing isn't really to tell you, like, oh, this product's good, this product's bad, this brand's good, this brand's bad.
Yeah, that's why we mentioned no names.
Yeah, no names.
No names.
My whole thing is just that, like, do your homework, because it's
you
so easy.
You got to do your homework, because...
so easy to do it now.
I've seen a lot of these, like, and don't get me wrong, if you're strapped for cash, you're trying to get the cheapest wheel
100%.
Out there, you really need to take a look and yeah. look up reviews, because I've seen some horror stories where the face completely cracked off from the lip and barrel,
mm-hmm.
and that I never want to be put into that situation. I don't know anybody else who would want to, just to save a few bucks on a set of wheels.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to go one step further with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go one step further, and I'm basically going to say that in basic, in a lot of basic, even cast construction,
mm-hmm.
the majority of the time that people see a wheel failure, it's not – so simple.
No, don't get me wrong. It's definitely not just, oh, the wheel cracked out of nowhere.
Right.
Like, you hit something. You hit a pothole.
Right.
You hit a curb. But it's more of, you see the quality of the wheel just shatter before your eyes. Because, you know, you could have, how should I say this? You could have one company that if you did the same thing, it wouldn't do what the other company did.
Maybe. I just, you know, here's the thing. It's like, there is, you know, if you went back to the 80s, even early 90s or something like that, and you tried to compare.
Well, that's when wheels were strong.
Yes.
Well, strong, yes. Strong wheels.
No. But, like, you go back, like, there was a big desire between casting technology.
Yes.
The technology that has been experienced, you know, over the, you know, the last 10 years or so, even more, is just, it's improved so much. So a lot of the really, really junky product
is old technology.
Well, isn't really abundant anymore, mm-hmm. right? So that is a good thing. But, like, you know, there's a lot of times, like, even maybe a competitor's brand, we'll see, and we know what kind of product they make. Do we feel that maybe our product's better? Like, maybe, because we're so self-involved in it, we know how much work we put into trying to do certain things.
Yeah.
But we know their quality. We may say, yeah, no, they're pretty good quality wheels, or we know what factory they get from, and we're like, yeah, they're pretty good quality wheels. Mm-hmm. But the question comes in when you start, you know, talking about a wheel, when you see it's just completely destroyed, and you look and you're like,
hold on one second.
What?
Tyler, exactly correct. There's no bends, only brakes with those wheels. You don't want to be that person with the brake. This is where crack in the bend comes into play.
But we've talked about this plenty of times, which mm-hmm. is that wheels are metal, not magic.
100%.
At some point, a wheel can reach a catastrophic breaking point.
You spend 10 grand on a wheel, it doesn't matter. If you hit something hard enough, it's going to either bend, crack, or break.
Yeah, I mean, like, the truth is, like, you take a wheel through a substantial pothole and you destroy that wheel. Like, you can't just turn around and say, well, it broke. I don't know.
They just break like that. Well, right. Stop hitting potholes.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think that there's going to be some time. There's going to be some time where you start to really have to think. And I think it's only fair. What was your part in this damage? Now, look, I will say, like, you know, if you have something that just over time, you know, or a short period of time or something like that, that has this weird defect or porosity holes or something to the fact where you know it's like a manufacturer mm-hmm. defect, now it's like, all right, that's one
totally
thing.
Different story.
But when you start talking about, like, you see some of these people and you look at these photos and you're like that didn't just – it didn't – well, you weren't driving down the road and the thing just disintegrated.
I'll give you an example. Just last year, Scott remembers this because it was pretty entertaining and he loved every second of it. I had a set of three-piece wheels on. I bent the lip – completely to, and that's where Alex is going to put a little bleep right over.
We're live.
We're live. That can't happen. But either way, you guys know what I'm talking about. I bent the lip. I wasn't blaming the wheel company at all. I hit a massive pothole, which allowed that lip to bend. So, again, that's where exactly Scott was going with this, that you really have to look at what you did to the wheel versus, you know, it just blaming it on the wheel company.
Well, I mean, and that just really goes on construction. Like, now you're talking about, you know, you're out there riding dirty with a thin tire and a stretch tire wheel.
Again, that was my fault.
I understand. On a aluminum spun lip. I mean, this goes back to you could spend all the money in the world. That product is still going to be less structurally able to take a beating.
Oh yeah.
Than compared to almost like a lot of other stuff. Anyhow, let's not get too deep into that. Just remember that I think it's just do your homework. Make sure that when you're buying whatever level wheel you is, whatever your budget is, do your homework and make sure that you know what you're getting. What construction is it? How is the wheel made? You know, don't let them just say the word forged. Well, are all the pieces forged? Mm-hmm. You know. It's going to be a three-piece. What kind of hardware are you going to include with it? Is it aluminum hardware? Is it titanium hardware? Is it, like, steel hardware? Mm-hmm. Because, one, hardware adds weight, and two, the type of bolt that you use depends on, will it corrode? Will there be issues with it? Like, just make sure. That's how you compare. You got to compare all the pieces of the puzzle, make your decision, do some homework, do some research, see where the wheels are being used. You know, are they used on track? Are they not used on track? Yep. Do people, you know, even the brands that are used on track, which wheels of the brands are used on track? Yep. Did they make a special product just to go on track with because their other stuff wouldn't do well on mm-hmm. track? These are all things you need to consider, right? So that's number one. And like Jared just commented, you know, what do you do if a company has limited or no information about their wheels at all and they're available on the website? I think that in today's day and age, if that's a red flag.
That's one, a red flag. Two, at that point, I'm searching through forums to see who has had this company previously, what they thought about it. Tons of Facebook groups, you know, right. Majority of every car guy is going to be part of a Facebook group with right. their car, whether it's Volkswagen, you know, whatever. But yeah, that's my next step. And especially if the company's not really posting up how the wheels are made or anything like that, I'm kind of out.
And even if they don't, I think if you make a phone call, like make a phone call to the company, mm-hmm. have a conversation with one of their reps about the details that you want to find out. Okay. If they give you information, now call another company or two that are in the same ballpark.
Price range, yeah.
Ballpark. Or even product type.
Yep.
And listen to what they have to say. Does one sound way more informed than the other? Does one have the same load rating as the next? Like, make sure you're comparing your specs. Apples to apples is the only way to make a decision with yep, this stuff.
Exactly.
And even when you're going to buy, if you want to buy something that's totally different, or you're like you said, you're making your decision, you want this three-piece wheel or this one, whatever the decision is, make sure you really do your homework and figure out exactly what you're buying and if it will hold up for what you want to use it for every day. Right. So the question is, are more wheels, are more expensive wheels worth more money, or are they better?
I would say no.
I would say as a blanket answer, the answer to that is no. Again, construction changes the price point of the wheel because it costs more money to make the wheel. That is a natural change in price that you should expect.
Yes.
And I would almost look at them as tiers.
Yeah.
Like when you go from this tier to this tier, all right, the pricing changed. Now I'm going to compare everybody on that price level. Not that price level, on that product level.
Yes. Yes.
And then when I jump to the next level, I'm going to compare everybody on this product level. But, you know, at the end of the day, your budget determines that price level.
Yes, 100%.
Right?
Just don't buy cheap wheels, guys. That's all we ask.
That's not fair.
That's not fair.
No, because what I'm saying is, like, it's not about the cost, right? It's not the price.
Mm-hmm.
Don't buy wheels that are just out there. I think your friends are coming in here.
Carito, ¿qué pasa, papi?
Don't buy wheels just because they're cheap or whatever. Do your homework on them. Make sure they're quality, regardless of what price point. If that's your price point and that works for you, just make sure you know what you're buying.
Yeah.
Right? All right.
That offer.
I think that's it, man.
Well, let's go through these questions.
I think we did already.
Did we go through them all? I don't know if we missed one of Tyler's.
No, I think we got one of Tyler's. Shout out to Tyler throwing the
shot it out. Yeah, for sure.
But look, so here's what I'll say. It definitely is all about the person. Before we get out of here, next week our podcast is going to have. On FCP? Oh, is that right?
FCP yeah. Euro.
I think FCP Euro is going to be coming to hang out with us.
JR?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, JR.
Yeah, FCP Euro is going to be coming here, hanging out with us. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things, replacement parts, lifetime warranties on yep. things, even like oil. Wild.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. FCP is wild with that, and I love it.
We're going to be talking about some of their racing programs and their heritage, and just kind of what does it take to be that kind of a retailer in today's day and age.
Gary, I don't have 3 hours.
Sure he does. Gary, we'll start throwing questions in. We'll just keep answering them until you stop.
Throw me questions, Gary, then I'll stay. I can't really hang out much longer.
So that's that. Also, next Friday, this Friday, like every Friday, we're going to be dropping a piece of content up on our YouTube channel. Make sure you're subscribed. It's super important because we're going to be doing some giveaways that are going to be coming up here soon. And they're only going to be
giveaways.
Yes.
And I was not informed of this.
That's right.
That's crazy.
Well, you know, we try to keep the on the other side of the room. You know what I mean?
Wow. I'm going back to the other side of the room, fellas. Yeah.
Anyhow. So that's pretty much it. Thanks for hanging out with us. Make sure that you tune in to the live streams that we do. We do Q&A every Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern on Instagram and Facebook. And also, we have a garage tour coming really soon as well. Garage tours has been pretty cool. Go check out the one we did with CoralWorks. It's on our YouTube right now. Yeah. Greg Bucel is honestly one of the funniest dudes, period. Tyler, go check it out. If you haven't seen it yet, go look at the one with CoralWorks and Greg Bucel.
Check it out.
Super funny. Anyhow, before the rapping starts, does Kono
Congo? Who's Congo, Gary?
Stretch it a deal.
We don't stretch tires here, Gary. We can
stretched wheels. Yeah.
I'll show you a stretch wheel, all right, Garito?
No stretch wheels. There's only stretch tires.
Stretch tires, stretch wheels, whatever you want.
Anyhow, that's it. We're getting out of here.
We're getting out of here. We're getting a little too reckless now.
You're going to do whatever you do.
I'm
going to
go back to work.
Thanks for tuning in.
Apparently, it's whatever I do, it's not work.
It's accurate. We'll catch you next week.
Later.